maybe we could look into something here this afternoon that would be encouraging. Brother Stanley said something right at the end of the prayer about fighting. I thought about fighting the good fight of faith. Paul said that you might lay hold unto eternal life. And I believe that's what we're all striving for. We all want eternal life, and it's there for us. And Scripture says it's found in His Son. And I'm sure that's why many of us are here today. You know, I know there's a small group of us. But I was thinking, I had a thought earlier today about Rolex watch. Rolex watches, from my understanding, I've never had one, very expensive. But I also understand that some companies make copies that aren't genuine Rolex. They're not as expensive. They're also not genuine. And I thank the Lord this afternoon for the genuine saints of God. Those that are endeavoring to come forth as that pure gold that Job knew what he was going to be when he came through it. And he knew that when God had finished trying him, that he was going to come forth as pure gold. And I appreciate the pure gold of the saints today, what the Lord has done in each and every one of our hearts and lives. And He'll continue to do it if we let Him. That's basically where the secret is. If we let Him, He'll continue to do it. I'd like to read a few verses here in the Romans, the 11th chapter, Desire Your Prayers. This has been encouraging to me, and I pray that it will be encouraging to you. Romans 11 and 1 says, I say then, hath God cast away His people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people, which He foreknew. Wot ye not what the Scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, digged down thine altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. God has always had a people, and He always will have a people. He'll have people when He sends the Lord back to call this whole world into judgment. But the point is, are we going to be a part of that people? I think we can be. And my little thought this afternoon is, we can stay saved no matter what time we're living in. We can stay saved. And folks, the importance of this is not only my soul and your soul, but it's the souls of those that are coming along behind us. The souls of our children. The ones that we are so burdened for that are still out in sin. It's imperative that you and I stay saved, that will have a place to look to, that they will have a place to come to whenever it's their time. Hopefully it'll be their time to be saved. But they need you and I to be faithful. They need you and I to, John, maybe it said, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. I notice in the text here, it's talking about Elijah. And it's talking about a time in his life. And if I could just go over it just a little bit, I know we all know the story. But it's talking about Elijah and his dealings with Ahab. And Ahab had married a heathen woman. And God told her not to. But he married a heathen woman. Her name was Jezebel. And Jezebel gave the children of Israel a lot of trouble in that she had the altars of the one true God torn down and had her altars installed to the heathen worship, to her idol, the Baal. And it was a time when God had sent Elijah to bring judgment, upon his people. Israel was in apostasy. Israel had fallen away from God. Ahab, the king, that once was in favor of God, had fallen away from God because he disobeyed the Lord. Jezebel, I don't know that she ever had any connection with God. Nevertheless, God sent him there to those folks, and he sent him there with a purpose. They had not only torn down the altars and torn down the temple where they worshiped the one true God, but they had destroyed the prophets. You know, Jezebel, she pressed and she pressed until she finally had Ahab destroy the prophets. And Ahab agreed with that. And so God stepped in then. And he sent old Elijah along there. And he says, I'm the only one left. Well, you know what he did. He said, let's build us an altar, you know, your prophets. There were 450 prophets. Now, if you want to think about numbers, they're going to get greater than what I'm talking about now, but there were 450 prophets of Baal. There were also 400 prophets of the groves, those that ministered in the high places and made sacrifice and worship to Baal. Altogether, we have approximately 850 prophets. And Elijah went out there and he challenged every one of them. He said, you build an altar, and I'll build an altar, and we'll put our sacrifice on it, and we'll call out to our God, whichever one the fire comes down and consumes the sacrifice, then let him be God. Remember when he stood before the children of Israel, and he said, how long will you halt between two opinions? And they said, if Baal be God, then let him be God. Well, the fire came down and consumed the sacrifice on the altar that Elijah had built. And that didn't set too well with Jezebel. Because after he did that, he took all those prophets down to the brook and slayed every one of them. He slew every one of her prophets. And she sent out a warrant for him and said, tomorrow about this time, your life's going to be just like the lives of those prophets. And Elijah ran. And that's what we have here, where he said to God, they killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I'm the only one left, and they seek my life. I want you to notice something here. It wasn't true, was it? But it's what he thought. He thought that he was the only one left. He thought that he was the only true prophet, the only true prophet in Israel that was left. But yet God knew that there were 7,000 that had never bowed to the idol of Baal. 7,000. Folks, today we're dealing with a devil that likes to come along and present thoughts. He'll have us thinking things one way, and it's really not that way. He will have us looking at things one way, and it's really not that way. The devil likes to present himself in such a way that it will cause you and I to think that that's the way it really is. I know that I have been walking along on a gravel road, and I've gotten a little pebble in my shoe, and the longer I walked on it, the bigger it felt, and I thought I had a pretty good sized rock in my shoe. And when I took the shoe off, I found out it's just a little thing. But it was magnified and because the pain, it was beginning to hurt. And the enemy takes little things and it begins to magnify. And it begins to enlarge on that thing. And if you and I will give him the time of day, if you and I listen, he will continue to magnify that until he has us frightened or in fear for our own selves. And Elijah was fearful. You know, he ran and he went in that cave and he hid out there and he didn't say, Lord, he said, you know, it is enough. Take my life. Take me out of here, Lord. It's all done. God wasn't finished with Elijah. But the point that I want you to get a hold of is he lived in a wicked time. He lived in a time when, like I said, Israel had went back on God. Israel had turned their backs on God. And he was a man that was standing true. Folks, in this wicked world today, amidst all that's coming against us, you and I can stay saved. You and I can stand true. In the midst of it all, if we have God on our side, we can stay true, can't we? Oh, I think about Elijah. He was a man of great faith. I believe he had a lot of faith. It took faith for him to stand there and before all those people and build that altar and expect God to send fire down. That took great faith. But he was also a very timid man. And that's one reason why he ran. Whenever it was put out, when the word was put out to take his life. I want us to be encouraged this afternoon to know that the devil can't destroy us. He can't do it. The devil cannot destroy us. He can make claims and he can frighten us if you let him, and he can come against us in all kinds of ways. But the devil, remember when Job the devil was going around with the sons of men and he stood before the Lord and he gave him the right to Job, but that God put limits on what the devil can do. Folks, if we'll stay inside of the ark of safety, if we'll stay inside the favor and the will of God, following directions, being obedient and doing His will, the devil cannot destroy us because we're God's children. We're God's people. And it says here, even at this time, also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Well, we have a remnant here this afternoon compared to what we'll probably have tonight as far as a congregation. God always has had and always will have a people that love Him and that desires to serve Him, even in the midst of adversity and even in the midst of trouble. And I would like to carry that thought on just a little bit more, and I won't turn over and read them. But there was a man over there in the old time. It said Paul speaks about him, or Hebrews speaks about him in the 11th chapter of Revelations. It said he had a testimony. Who was that? Said he had a testimony that he pleased God in it. He had a testimony. Now, I've read a little bit of history. I don't know how much there is on that man. But he lived back here pretty much in the early beginning of time. But I understand he was a man of authority. He was a ruler he had jurisdiction over a small area. And he lived in a very wicked and evil time. He lived in a wicked time. You know, sometimes we get the idea, and I'm guilty of it myself, thinking, wow, we live in such a wicked time, things ain't never been like this before. But I want to say that one time, that it was so wicked that God said it grieved Him that He ever made man. And I'm going to destroy him. So it was pretty wicked then, wasn't it? And there you have another man. One man. God's going to destroy the whole thing. But one man, Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Folks, it's important that you and I be faithful. It's important that we stay safe. Other people's souls are dependent on it. Our souls are dependent on it. And we can. The point I want you to get this afternoon is you can stay saved. No matter what somehow someone is mistreating you, no matter what you're facing in life, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the affliction is, no matter what the oppression is, you can stay saved. If you'll reach out to God, He will reach out to you. Scripture says in Peter, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. We can stay saved. You know, I know if we look around, we could get discouraged real easy. Elijah got discouraged. He looked around, he saw all that was happening, and I'm all alone here. You ever get the feeling that you're all alone? Do you know you can be in a crowd and feel all alone? You can be in a crowd of people and feel all alone. Feeling alone is not a good feeling. It's a very uncomfortable feeling. And Elijah, he felt all alone. He felt, I'm the only one left. Do you ever feel like that sometimes? Well, you know, camping's a wonderful time. It's easy to be encouraged now. We come together and we got the saints all around us. We're praying and singing and hearing out of the Word of God, and our hearts being lifted up, and we're being encouraged and challenged and all those things. But in the daily grind of life, Monday through Saturday at home, some folks live isolated. Some folks live in small congregations. It's when we face the daily rigidity of life. It gets pretty rigid sometimes. It gets pretty mundane sometimes. You know, we do the same things over and over and over again. And then when we do that over and over and over again, I mentioned this, I think Sunday morning, we get in a rut. We get in a place where that causes us to just get complacent about things. The enemy knows all those kind of things. He has all kinds of ways of coming against us. But I want to say, and I'm going to say it several times, we can stay saved. We can continue to live for the Lord. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Anybody walk away from God, they had to be the one to walk away. God doesn't walk away from us. He loves every one of us. It's His desire and purpose that every one of us make heaven our home. But understand, we are living in very evil time. We're living in a time where there are agnostics and people that don't believe the truth like you and I teach and believe and endeavor to live the truth. Many, many, many out in this world today. We are small in number in what we believe and what we live. We're very small in number. But we can still stay saved. We can still be faithful. Do you know that we're not saved today because Jesus performed all those miracles? Jesus healed the blind eyes and He raised the dead and He turned the water into wine and He did all those kinds. That's not why we're saved today. We're saved because He was faithful to go to the cross and die for us, to give His life and shed His blood. Folks, that's what it's going to take. He that endureth to the end. And you know, that he did. It didn't say singing and dancing and shouting and praising God all the way to the end. But there are some things we're going to have to endure. There are some things we're just going to have to endure. But we need to know in our hearts and have it settled in our hearts that while we're enduring it, we know there's a God in heaven that's looking down and He cares about my case. He does care what I'm going through. And His promises are still in the book. And He'll stand by them until eternity comes. He will stand by those promises. And I thank the Lord for that today. That's what I have to stand on, folks, is the Word of God. I have that. That's my refuge. That's my foundation is the Word of God, and the promises that God has given us in His Word that He's going to be with us, even in this time when it seems like people are losing interest, people are getting careless, people are finding other reasons or other things to do other than going to services. I mentioned this one time in California. I said, you know, I've noticed this among the saints, and it's really quite interesting. Since I generally go to about 5, sometimes 6 camp meetings every year, And I said, I noticed something about the saints. They plan their vacations. And I'm going to go over here to this camp meeting. And they'll go over there to that camp meeting. And many of them live where they have a camp meeting. And very seldom do they show up to their own camp meeting. I've seen it. Folks, it's going to take a real desire in our heart. If you want to go to heaven, you can get there, but we're going to have to be faithful. We need a real desire. We need a purpose. We need that vision I spoke about a few days ago. We need to understand, folks, we're not going to just trip and fall into the door. It ain't going to work that way. Elijah went through some things. He went through the test. You and I are going to go through the test. We are going to be tried and made white. But I still say we can make it. And we can stay saved today, even in these evil times that we live in. Oh, I think about another man over there. I think about Moses. Oh, Moses had a job, folks. You know, he was out there in the desert with over 1 million people. Now, I've always said this. Maybe you disagree with me, but people are more trouble than they're worth. But God gave us a soul. And that's why God's still working with us. But he's out there in this wilderness place, and he's got over 1 million murmurers and complainers. And everybody wanting to go back to Egypt, where the garlics and the leeks and all those things were. You brought us out here to die. But the Bible says Moses stood in the gap. He made his appeal for the people to God. He stood between them and God. God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to destroy every one of them. That's what he said. And I'll raise up another nation after your seed. Oh, Moses said, please don't do that. You know, the word's out, God. You know, all these people that are our enemies, they know all about your plan. To bring your people out of bondage, bring us through the wilderness, and there's a promised land waiting for us. So they know all about that. Please don't do that. And he interceded for them. Oh, sometimes, folks, it's going to take you and I have standing up and being strong. Sometimes we're going to have to take a stand. And we're going to have to be strong in the face and in the midst of this. Moses stood up, the whole thing about to fall apart. Let's just go back. We're not going to follow him anymore. But Moses stood in the gap. And he was faithful. And God brought him through. That's what it takes. That's what it's going to take for us. Be faithful. And God's going to bring us through. Now I want to look at a scripture now over in Judges. Joshua's gone, and Moses is gone, and now they have different men the Lord raised up to lead the people. And I'd like to read about this fellow for just a minute or two. In the 7th chapter of Judges, he speaks about Gideon. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to and proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead, and there return to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Now, my understanding is that there was over 100,000 Midianites. And I find here in the reading that they started out with 32,000. Gideon did. Now that seems pretty lopsided right there. But God said, that's too many. You see, God wants to show Himself strong in our lives. He told Paul, he said, when thou art weak, then am I strong. When you're weak, when you feel your weakest, when you realize what you really are, that you're just flesh, that you're just dust, and that you can't do anything without God, then God will come along and He will be strong and He will bless you in your life. The fearful and the unafraid, 22,000 of them, they went back to the house. I can only imagine. We can only imagine what was going through Gideon's mind. Wow, there's 100,000 of them out there. God says He's going to give them over to my hands, and I only got 10,000 to go. I don't know if I want to do this or not. Well, Lord, I don't know if I can go out there with 10,000. Lord, and I'm paraphrasing here. Lord says, you can't. That's too many. 10,000 is too many. And He went on to say, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them there for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee. The same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that bowed down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Now, there's a lot that could be said about that, but very briefly, it would seem to me that the 300 men that lapped water like a dog and took it in their hands were on watch. They were looking. Those that bowed down and put their mouth into the water to drink it couldn't see what was going on. They had let their guard down. And God said, 300, that's what I want you to go with. 300 men, over 100,000 Midianites. That's what I want you to go. Wow, we'd sure tremble at that, wouldn't we? You ever had the Lord ask you to do a hard thing? Oh, I have. I've had the Lord take me in some hard places. You know, it can be dangerous living for the Lord. It can be dangerous living for the Lord. I went to preach a funeral one time, and someone told me before that funeral, they said, you better be good. My uncle deserves a good funeral. I thought, Lord have mercy, what am I doing here? I was asked to preach it. When they found out that I was the one who was going to preach it, you better be good. Two of them told me that before I finally got around to the funeral. 300 men going out for God. See, that's the difference. God knows who your enemy is. He knows who your enemy is. And He is going to help you fight your enemy. But He's going to do it on His terms, not yours. We can stay safe. Right in the day that we're living in, folks, if we'll follow the Lord, we can stay safe. He went out there, and I'm not going to read all that, but when He went out there after him, verse 12 says, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. Oh, I'll tell you what. But when God came on the scene, and when it was time for the battle, 300 men walked into a camp with no one there. God sent something to discomfort them in the middle of the night, and they were gone. Too many times we limit God. Too many times we have decided, God, I know how you're going to do this, but I don't see how you don't know how God's going to do it. Even in your afflictions, you do not know what God is going to bring you through or to the place that He wants to take you to until He's ready to deliver you out of your affliction. Oh, Lord, I've decided I've decided just how it needs to be done, Lord. This is how I want it done. We get in trouble when we get that way. Because then we begin to lose the vision of what God is, of who God is, and what God can do. Have thine own way, Lord. Do it your way, Lord. I know I heard a story years ago about a young fellow that was praying for this, wanting to marry this certain girl. And I don't remember now what her name was, but so I'll just make up one. But he was praying one time. He said, Lord, have your way, but give me Betty. Have your way, but give me what I want. It don't work that way. It just doesn't work that way with God. God made us for one purpose. From what I understand and what I read in several different scriptures, God made you and I for one purpose, and that's to glorify Him. When we get to the place where we have decided this is how the church is going to work, this is how that's going to work, this is how what I'm going to do, and we are lifting up ourselves, getting involved, giving a direction of ourselves, folks, we're not glorifying God. We've got to glorify God. We've got to lift Him up. It's all about Him. And that's what it said over there. He said, I don't want to send all them in there because they'll vaunt themselves up and saying that mine own hand has saved me. And I want the glory. God says, I want the glory. You know what? I'm just willing to give it to Him. I've been in some hard places. Many of us have been in some hard places. How many times? Oh, I'm sure I could hear testimonies from some of these older folks here. How many times have you been in the furnace of affliction? And when you finally came to the place and said, Lord, I don't know what else to do. I've done all I know. I'm going to turn it over to You. It's in Your hands. And that's when God comes on the scene. That is the time that God comes on the scene. When we turn it over to Him. See, we can stay saved. And we can stay encouraged. Paul said we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. But we're going to have to submit ourselves to the Lord's way. To God's way of doing things. We're going to have to submit ourselves. There is trust and there's faith involved in this route. It's involved in this route. Faith is the foundation of every Christian walk with God. It's foundation. But I want to tell you something about the foundation. When people build houses and big structures, they dig down into the dirt. And before they pour the foundation, they pour something they call a footer. And that footer holds that foundation in place. Because it's down in the earth. It goes down to where it's got some solid ground to set on. Folks, obedience is the footer to faith. In order for us to have faith in God, we've got to be obedient. When God told Saul to go out and to destroy all the Amalekites, destroy them all, don't take any spoils, and he went out there and he destroyed them all, didn't he? He brought the king back. He brought the young women and children back too, I believe. And he brought the best of the animals back. And God sent the prophet. God sent the prophet. Folks, we can't get by with anything like that with God. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. All things are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. We can't get. Why do we even try? I believe it's part of its human nature. We try to see what we can get by with. Saul tried to see what he could get by with. And God sent the prophet. Heard the sheep bleating. But he said, when you were little in your own eyes, when you realized that every step you took, you needed God. When you realized He was the real king over these people. When you realized what your place was. Then God blessed you. When you were little in your own eyes. Lord, help us stay humble. It's a humble route. Saints, we teach a life of denial of self and of the world, and it's close. I mean, it's close. We bring it down pretty close where we are to live in this world. But in the midst of it all, I believe God's got grace for us to do it. I know He does. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. If it was sufficient for Him, it's sufficient for you and I. His grace will bring us through, folks. He will bring us through. He brought all those folks, and I know there's instance after instance in the Word of God. But I wanted to mention just a few of those fellows that were faithful in the hard times. You've been through some hard times. You're going to go through some more. And you won't be at camp meeting when you go through them either. And there may not be anybody that you can even get a hold of to pray for you. But Lord, help you to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. I want to read about one more fellow over here. And it's John in the Revelations. First chapter of Revelation. I think there's a verse or two. Ninth verse. I, John, who also am your brother and your companion in tribulation. Hey, we're brothers and we're companions in tribulation. And in the kingdom and in the patience of Jesus Christ. Folks, there is a cause. There is a purpose. There is a reason why we're doing this. It isn't just to go through the motions. And everything that you and I do that has a benefit to another soul, it ought to be in our minds to be that the purpose of our heart is to do it for the uplift and the advancing of the kingdom of God. For the encouragement of each and every one that's around us. No man liveth unto himself. So this is John's little opening here. I thought it was very good. But it said he was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Most of us know John lived in a pretty bad time too. You know what? What did they try to do to him before they sent him to Patmos? They boiled him. They tried to boil him. Folks, God wouldn't let him do it. Wouldn't let it happen because God wasn't finished. And they said, I know what we'll do. We'll set him out here on this island surrounded by all that salt water and there's nothing to eat. He won't survive very long there. And God blessed him there and sent a revelation to him there. God was in the presence with Jonah when he was in the whale belly. God is everywhere, the song says. But he blessed John. They couldn't kill him. The enemy cannot destroy us if we stay with God. Until God says it's time. Until God says it's time, and not before. That's right. John, our brother in tribulation, banished to this old rocky island. But God wasn't through with him yet. God isn't through with us yet either, folks. He's going to have a remnant according to the election of grace. I want to be a part of it. I want to be able, by the grace of God, to stand up. Yes, I believe in holiness. Yes, I believe in godliness. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, I believe in His divinity. Yes, I believe He is who He said He was. Yes, I believe He performed all the miracles that He performed. And more importantly, yes, I believe He went to the cross and paid everything He had with His life to purchase this plan of salvation for you and I. Folks, there's no reason in the world why we can't stay saved today. Paul and Silas. You know, I've thought about those fellows several times. We're ministers of the gospel. Early church here. We're trying to get congregations established. We're doing the will of God. Throw them in prison. That'd become embarrassing for a Church of God preacher to be thrown in prison, wouldn't it? You don't see that happen right now, do you? You may. You may. But they didn't get in there and drop their heads and say, oh, woe is me. They got in there and it said they sang at midnight, they sang praises. They sang praises to God. You know, the disciples said that they took the stripes on their back and said, we thank God that we're able to suffer for His sake. It's going to mean something for us to see inside of God's heaven. But we can do it. They started singing and God sent an earthquake. See, you don't know what God's going to do. You just don't know how He's going to work it out. But I know God. I'm learning a little bit about God. He will absolutely amaze you. When you think that, you know, God's done it, He will amaze you. And what God can really do. He is a wonderful God. You know, David lived in a hard time. David lived in a time when him and the men had come back into town, and while they were gone, the enemy had come in and stolen all the women. Taken all the fellows' wives while they was out there on the trail. And it got so bad there that they said they were thinking about stoning the old boy. Thinking about stoning David, his own people. You know what the scriptures say? He encouraged himself in the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, it didn't say that he said, oh, woe is me, and I'm in deep trouble now, and everybody hates me, and everybody's against me, and they want to kill me. He said he encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, the scripture also tells us that he had a heart after God's own heart. That's what it's going to take. To have a heart after God's heart. To have a purpose and a desire. To want the same things that God wants. To desire the things that God desires for us as a people of God. I want to go back now, after all of that, to Elijah. In closing, our little message this afternoon. Oh, Elijah, he's over there in the cave and wanting to die. And God said, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? I still have some things for you to do, fella. Get out of that cave. I want you to go over here. And he sent him out and he anointed two kings. One over Israel, one over Judah. And then he said, when you get done with that, I want you to go find Elisha. And I want you to call him because he's going to be your successor. Yeah. Oh, but Lord, I'm ready to die. Get out of here and go work for me. I'm not done with you. Well, he went out there and he did. He anointed the kings. And then he went and he found Elisha, and Elisha followed. One day, if you forget everything else I've said, please don't forget this. One day he said, Elisha, what would you like to have for me before I am taken away? And he said, a double portion of your spirit. Wow, you're asking a hard thing. Do you know God wants us to ask Him for those kind of things? There's nothing too hard for God. Brother Stanley said the other day that no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Well, he said, you're asking a hard thing, Elisha. But he said, if you see me when I'm taken up, you shall have it. Next day, well, Elisha, you wait here. I got to go over here somewhere. I've been called over here. No, I'm not waiting here. Not on your life. Wherever you go, I'm going. Because I want to be there. He wanted it. He desired it. So he went with Elijah. Wasn't very long, Elijah says, you wait here. I've been called to go over there. He said, I'm not waiting here. If you're going, I'm going too. And then we know the story where they came to the Jordan River one day. And Elijah took off his mantle and he struck the ground for the water. And God parted the rivers. And they walked both of them. It said, I think there were 50 prophets back there watching all this. And they walked across on dry ground. And when they got on down the trail a ways, God sent a chariot of fire. And Elijah was taken up. But Elisha was right there. And his mantle fell back to the ground. I know you all know the story. He picked up that mantle and Elijah went on. But he took up that mantle and he went back to that Jordan River. And when he stood over there by that river, he took that mantle and he hit the ground. Folks, he didn't say, "Where's Elijah?" He said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Where's his God? You know, many times, and I'm sure Brother Stanley and some of us others have felt the same way. Oh, I wish some of the old ministers were back. I wish some of those old folks were back that held this thing true and were faithful with a testimony of their life. I wish, I'd love to be able to talk with them. And I do, but I wouldn't want them back here for nothing in this world, because I know they're very happy where they are. But folks, it's not them that I need today. It's not Brother Stanley that you need today. It is the Lord God of Elijah. You need His God. And if you've got His God, you can stay faithful. And you can stay saved right in these wicked and evil things. That's all we need is His God. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And He was there because the waters parted and He walked right back across on dry ground. People saw that. People witnessed that. Where is His God? He's still here. His Elijah's God is still alive and well today. He still has all things in His hands. All things in His control. And He's given the authority to His Son to be an intercessor for you and I. We can come boldly to the throne of grace and we can say, "Where is His God? Where is His God?" Many of us are going to pass off the scene, young folks. Many of us, some of us that you see today, it may not be too many years away or much time away that some are going to be passed off the scene. Some that you got confidence in. Some that you really believe is living for God. All I'm going to tell you today, you find their God. You won't need them if you find their God. Just get a hold of the Lord God of Elijah. Amen.